belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light.
Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy.
Thank you, girls. Well read. Well, as you can see, Zoe is very dedicated to the job. She's even left her bed here this morning for us all to see. She's here night and day. One of the amazing things we get to see as staff is the high level of energy and input and organisation that she does. Even to the point this morning, as we're talking about displaced people, she joins along with all the young people voluntarily to go with them, and probably for health and safety reasons as well, but chooses to join in with others as well in identifying in what it means to feel like a displaced person. And that means making themselves homeless for 24 hours, and so they've been down at the coach house, certainly last year I think it was quite cold, and they roughed it out. It was a tough experience, and we know that they done something similar, but people up and down the country often whether it's at cathedrals or youth groups and others, want to identify as Christians with people, with people who are homeless, people who have been displaced, who have been removed from their homes in one way, shape or form or another, and this is a global problem. If I was to ask you this morning, if you think about displaced people, if you think about people who are not just refugees, but asylum seekers, those who are in their countries homeless at the moment, I wonder globally what figure comes to your mind. If you were to think globally how many people are displaced, just think of a figure, a rough guess in your mind of how many people that might be. Now, if you go on the UN website and you look at that figure, currently it stands at over 65 million people. Globally, 65 million people. And we know in Bexhill at the moment, you only have to walk around and you see that there are more people on the streets, more people who are sleeping rough or passing through. And I wonder, how do we respond to that this morning as Christians? How do we identify and how do we practically go about this issue? Because it's both a global problem, but something that's on our doorstep. And it's great to see people identifying and highlighting the issue. I think it's a great thing. But how do we this morning as people respond to it? Well, this passage, I believe, gives us three inroads. If my helpers can come and just hold this up for me. I think Chris, do you want to come up as well? Good job. It says in 1 Peter, doesn't it? It says, once you were not a people, but now you are a people. Once you had received mercy, do you want to hold that end? That's it. Stretch it out for me just a little bit. There we go. Thank you. And so what it's really talking about is that in the Christian message and as part of the issue within the whole of humanity, if displacement is being moved from a position where you once were, then we're all in that same boat. Because we recognize that in our relationship with God, that the barrier of sin separates us from him. We are all supposed to be in that relationship with him, in that sort of family relationship with God. But when we sin and sin came into the world, it was this barrier. We were on the other side. We were displaced. Longing to get back home to be with our Heavenly Father. And so, you can just roll that up now for me. Thank you very much. You can go sit down. And so, you know, in some small measure this morning, although, yes, we're not displaced from war-torn areas. Yes, we some of us and many of us have roofs over our head. But in that small measure, in that small way, we can identify as part of the whole Christian message, as part of the whole Bible message we see time and time again, that we are displaced. And we know what it means to be displaced, to be lost, to longing to be found again. Longing to find that home with our Heavenly Father. And so it draws us in. And I think one of the practical ways for us to do that is to remind ourselves of what it means to be lost. It's great that we have the hope and the love of God that roots us. But every now and again, I believe it's really important just to remind ourselves, actually, what was it like before I knew Jesus? And I think when we identify and we begin to just think about that, every now and then, I think it stirs something in us practically to move, to reach out, to connect with others. Well, in this passage as well, the other avenue it opens up, it says you are a chosen people. It says you are God's treasured possession. What amazing words to come out that actually when you're in a relationship with Jesus, when you become part of the family of God, you come home. Regardless of gender, age, location, wherever you are, even if you are displaced from one country and you find yourself in another as an asylum seeker or as a refugee, the message of the gospel is whoever you are, wherever you are, through Jesus, you can find home. You can be in that relationship with God. You can be secure. You are chosen. You are treasured. You are something of precious to Him. And you might think, well, that sounds really good. But how does that actually put food on the table? How does that put a shelter around someone who is suffering? It does something to us in a very real way. It changes our identity. If you think about all the social pressures and everything in our society that puts on us, in order to be someone, you have to have a good job, you have to be working hard, you have to have a home, good extra income. You know, to be someone of worth and significant, who is significant, you've got to be wearing the right stuff, and this is you. But if you're displaced, if you're out of that, and you don't match up to those things, it becomes a crushing experience. Your worth shrinks. It's like, oh, I don't really have that stuff. I'm not like those other people. The Christian message this morning is God says, beyond all those things, I value you. You are my treasured possession. And what that means is, even in the hardest of places, in the most toughest of environments, your worth, who you are, how important you are to God, isn't dependent on all those locations. It rises above that. That stirs hope in our hearts. That makes that worth. It can't be robbed from you. So even in the most tragic of circumstances, you can wake up in the morning and say, you know what? Despite what other people think of me, I may not have everything that everyone else has, but God treasures me. I am chosen, I am secure, I'm held in Him, I am brought home through Jesus. Well, the other thing this passage opens up as well is something that goes right from creation to now, and it talks about being a royal priesthood. Now, a royal priesthood, it talks about two distinct roles brought together. Because right at the beginning of the story of creation, and as we open up, humanity was given that role to be kings. We were given the responsibility to be stewards, to look after the earth, to be good kings, to be good rulers, good queens, good people who would rule and act wisely with the resources we have. But we also had another role. We were meant to be priestly in bringing God to situations and people, and also taking God to those situations. And so when Peter talks about a royal priesthood, he says, you're not just chosen, you're not just amazing in God's eyes, but you have a role to fulfill. You have a job to do. There is something for you to be part of, to flourish in. Now, I'm married. And can you imagine in my relationship with my wife, and she's chosen me, and she loves me, and it's really fantastic. And I say, oh yeah, isn't it great being married to Caroline? It's so wonderful. She thinks I'm a treasure possession to her. And then I turn around and say, you know what? Thanks. And I go off. Oh, but I'm married. I'm just going to go off and do my own thing. But I'm still married. You would look at me and say, you're crazy. You're a husband. You have a role to fulfill. You flourish in that role. You make your wife flourish. You make everyone else around you flourish when you act responsibly, when you do what you're supposed to do. In the same way here in this passage, you're called to act wisely and be a priestly blessing to others. What happens if you just do one of those things? What happens if you put the crown to one side? And you say, I just, there's so many homeless people in Bexhill. I really want to help them. I want to do everything I can. Oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sell my mobile phone. There we are, Ron. No. And then I'm going to give you my shoes. I'm going to give you my jacket. I'm going to empty out my bank account. I'm going to take out 10 credit cards and max them all out. But I'm being a blessing to other people. When compassion overrules common sense, you end up in trouble. We're not acting wisely as kings and queens of this earth with the resources we have. We're a royal priesthood. We take our resources and we act responsibly in a blessing. And that's why we need each other. This is why God calls us together as a people. There are so many people who scam out there at the moment, and it's a shame. And they sit there and they'll send you an email and say, I'm a Christian and I'm over here in part of the world and I need some money to get to school and do an education. And you think, wow, but that, I just want to respond and be a blessing. I want to give my money. But we don't check the facts. And something simple like that, just where we need other people to talk it through with. I really want to help and support in this way. What do you think? Well, let's be good kings and queens and let's just sit down and talk it through. What does it mean to really act wisely in this and be good stewards of what we have? And I think when we put those two things together, it helps us as a community and as individuals to respond well to situations, to respond together. Practically, we have good ways this Christmas coming up in responding to displaced people. We sponsor and help out Christians Against Poverty. And Paul Hellier has sent round an email where we make Christmas hampers and send it to people who have got into financial difficulty. They can't afford things at Christmas, gifts and just a simple food. And it's so pressured in society to try and do something at Christmas time. And these people have nothing. Well, as royal priests, we can intervene, bring a blessing to them. And if you're not part of a home group, I suggest you come and talk to me if you think, well, I want to be part of that. I want to do that. And just lastly, maybe you're thinking, well, I'm really burdened with this need of the homeless and I want to do something. But I don't know what to do. I don't know where to start. How do I begin? Well, the Snowflake Shelter is a local charity in a really good place. And you might be thinking, well, I'm busy. How do I get involved and do time or anything? I don't feel equipped. I always say to people, start small. If you're so burdened to get involved with something, start small. You can phone up a charity and just say, is there a drop-in shelter? Do you need someone who can just carry a tray of tea and coffee? I don't know where to begin, how to talk to people. But you know what? Most people come in, will need a drink. Or if you're in my head, you need a good meal. Show a bit of hospitality. Be a blessing in a small way, but that reaches and shows love to others. So just to recap this morning, we talked about displaced people, but we talked about three areas that we can identify. One, in being displaced as the people of God, we know what it is to not find that home. But we're brought home in Jesus. We're given a new identity that rescues us, restores us, and makes us climb above the situation, gives us real hope. But more than that, we're given a royal priesthood of active function to act wisely and be a blessing to those around us with other people. And so my prayer that as you go from this place, it's not only that we identify with the issues, but that we can think through, pray through, and actively be a blessing, especially in the coming months, even if it's in small ways, but to reach out and touch people's lives. Just bow your heads and pray. and then I'll hand over. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the amazing privilege of just being brought into that relationship through Jesus Christ. Lord, that takes us and roots us firmly in you. And Lord, it's not about what other people think first. Lord, it's about what you say about us. It's what you've done for us. It's what you do to help us to flourish and grow. And I pray for that release in people's hearts of your in your spirit, Lord, of opportunities. Lord, of ideas, of doors to be opened where people are already working. Father, I pray for that release in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to have further opportunity to pray. I know the young people have got a creative prayer exercise for us. So thanks, Zoe.
Right, as Dave's already mentioned, a group of my young people did what we called a solidarity sleep out for Christian Aid. We raised the young people raised £145 for Christian Aid to help with the plight of the refugees, particularly those from Syria. One of the games that we played to try and get to understand how difficult it is for the refugees is we sat in a circle and we imagined that we were refugees. And I remember saying, we're going to imagine that we've got a rucksack in the middle and we're going to fill it. Do you remember? Then we spent about 5 minutes talking about what the size of the rucksack was. Is it a DV size rucksack? Or is it a day rucksack? Anyhow, we decided on a DV size rucksack. And then we went and decided the things that we would put in that rucksack if we were going to be made a refugee and displaced. And then the other one we then went on to do was we then thought about things that we'd miss about home if we had to suddenly leave. And then the interesting one was that we then went on to think about if we were a charity or an aid organisation, what aid we would give. And it was very interesting what the young people came up with. And from the back of that, some of our, our youth groups are going to start helping some of the charities, particularly one. One of the things that came up was how important female hygiene is for the refugees. And a few of us had seen leaflets and things around. So some of the girls are going to start supporting that. And for the boys, they decided that actually sports were really important for those in refugee camps, so we're looking for a charity that could help them as well. So anyhow, today we'd like to pray for those that are displaced. So if I can call Dylan and Ben, bring your microphone with you. Lovely, thank you. So what's going to happen is Dylan and Ben are going to start our prayers with some of the prayers that we had during our sleepover. And then what I'd like you all to do, you've got some Love Heart World love hearts, and I would like you to write on those maybe a place that's on your heart that's struggling, maybe a place that's going through war at the moment or floods where people have had to be displaced through the recent hurricanes. There's wildfires in California at the moment, in Spain and Portugal, or even by life circumstances. So, you know, any area that you have on your heart, if you write that on there. So as I say, Dylan and Ben are going to start our prayers, and then if you write on your love hearts, then I'm going to send some of my young people to come and get those love hearts from you and put them in our homeless shelter here. Okay. Thank you, boys.
Rev. Breath and hope. Lord, hear our prayers for Syria, for people leaving everything behind to flee to safety, for those who have lost loved ones, for lives interrupted, education stalled, and families separated. Lord, bless your people. We thank you for the aid workers, for the hospitality of neighbours, the generosity of strangers, and for those who give of themselves to help others. For those who refuse to be silent in the face of injustice, Lord, bless your people. Lord, give the people of Syria hope, for peace and justice to prevail, for there to be new beginnings for all people living in that land, for freedom to replace fear, and for there to be a better tomorrow. Lord, bless your people. Amen.
Prayer for the Rohingya crisis. Father God, we are so devastated by the violence forcing so many people from their homes in Myanmar. I think that's right. Listening to stories of villages being burned, families being torn apart, and people fleeing for their lives. We pray they will find places of safety to take refuge. Reading reports of people walking for days across difficult terrain, of bodies arriving weary with sickness, hunger and thirst. We pray for an end to the violence, for peace, protection and provision in Myanmar and Bangladesh, and for the much needed medical help. Strengthen the aid workers, giving them the access they need to reach displaced people. In Bangladesh and Myanmar, providing more funding so they can provide more help. Your name we pray. Amen.
Just give you another half a minute. Lovely. And then if I could have some young people go down and collect them that side and come and put them in the shelter, and some of the young people on this side, if you could collect them from that side, that would be great. Lovely, thank you. Can we have another couple? Girls, could you just start at the back and just... Oh, it's all right. Thanks, Ambly. Thank you. Lovely, and I'll just close in prayer. So, Father God, we lift all our prayers to you and ask for you to have mercy on our lands where the earth has given way. Have mercy on the lands where the weather has destroyed livelihoods. Prosper those who rebuild houses and strengthen those who rebuild hope. Be in all these situations, Lord. We ask in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.